Welcome to CYC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 103. I'm Wolfgang Vachon. Earlier this month, the Ontario Association of Child and Youth Care had a conference here in Toronto. Over the course of the summer, we will be uploading several different presentations and talks from this conference. Our plan is to post two presentations from the conference each month, in addition to Salvatore and Jen's usual Your Right to Speak episode on the second Wednesday of each month. We're starting with presentations from Educators Day, which happened the day before the regular conference. This year, rather than having teachers speak to teachers, we had students and system-involved young people present to educators in attendance. We called the session Learning from the Educated. This week's presentation is from Cheyenne Nichols. Cheyenne spoke about being a student who started her degree in child and youth care as a Crown Ward of Children's Aid, and her experiences transitioning out of care while in the program. I trust you will find what she has to say as valuable as I did.
My name is Cheyenne and I'm 21 years old. I'm a former Crown Ward, meaning I grew up in the child welfare system with the government being my permanent guardian until I reached the age of 21. And I just finished my bachelor's degree in the child and youth care program at Humber College. A little bit about me. I'm the Ontario Director for Youth and Care Canada. I'm also on the Durham Children's Aid Foundation board as the only youth in care. I am on the Young Persons Advisory Council with the Toronto Children's Aid Foundation, and I'm currently on the Residential Services Panel with the Provincial Advocate's Office, which is currently creating a blueprint for the Ministry of Residential Care. So growing up in foster care was very challenging as I faced many barriers. I want to share just a little bit about my background, as it is important for you to understand the barriers that many youth from care experience. By sharing a small portion of my story with you, it will allow you to gain an understanding of what being in care is like, and more importantly, hopefully end some of the negative stigma around being in care from a lack of understanding of what that means. It will also give you insight to the barriers that I will be discussing later on in relation to my thesis presentation. I entered foster care 3 days before my 15th birthday for a number of reasons. To name a few, this included physical abuse, neglect, emotional abuse, substance abuse, and domestic violence. I was the primary caregiver for four of my siblings as my mom was never home. I have six brothers and one sister biologically. Some of you just went like, oh my God. I feel you, trust me. When I entered foster care, I thought everything would change. And I was right, everything did change. I thought this was gonna be a great opportunity to experience new things and finally have a family, or so I thought. I'll be speaking about this later. While I was able to finally participate in sports and attend camp, which I have wanted to do for so many years, I soon realized there would be a price attached to those things. The major thing we face in care is the negative stigma and labeling. Many people assume that we, the youth in and from care, are very violent, destructive, and defiant, which made us come into care, which is not true at all. Many times when people speak negatively about care, it is for one of these reasons. One, they don't have the correct information of what being in care is and why youth end up in care. Two, the worker, teacher, slash professional has a bad experience with a particular youth and therefore generalizes all of us. And three, the media portrayal. So a huge key message for all of you is to remember that we didn't ask to come into care. The second huge message that I want to say, which is so important because we as CYC students and professionals, we learn about how trauma can affect an individual and how it plays a role in someone's life. All youth that come into care has been through some form of trauma in their lives. Even if you're not from care, trauma plays a huge role in the lives of many people. If a youth is acting out, it could be a survival mechanism. Having been through the CYC program, this is where we want to focus on strengths-based approach. Which I will also discuss a little bit later on, and how important this is from someone who has been through the child welfare system. Just a note, today I will be focusing on just my experience. Just note that every single person has their own experience and they're the expert of their own stories. Jumping forward to now and having recently finished the Bachelor of Child and Youth Care program, I would like to share my experiences about this program with you. When I first started the program, I was 17 years old. Now, most of you will either think that is around the normal age to start post-secondary, but if you're from care, it's a huge deal, and this is why. In Ontario, only 44% of youth from care will graduate high school compared to 81% of the general population. From there, to graduate from a bachelor's degree decreases to 2%. In Canada, the statistic is 30% of youth in from care compared to 88% of the general population. As you can see, that's a really big difference. Another key point for you to note is 18 to 21 years old is called transitioning. If you're from care, this means you can no longer live with your foster parents. You have to live on your own. At this stage, you are given a maximum of $1,000 for everything you can think of. Your clothes, your food, your schooling, your books, everything. With that comes many challenges, but if you're from care, those challenges increase and they're harder. For instance, when I first started this program, one of the challenges I faced was moving to a new city and not knowing anyone. I had to learn the subway system all by myself, how to budget, how to write a check, how to pay rent, where to find the grocery stores, malls, shopping places, etc. This, of course, is expected when you move to a new city. However, it becomes more challenging when you don't have parents or family for assistance. Around this time, I remember having to complete a mandatory quiz about the program guidelines and expectations, and I wasn't able to complete it on time as I was moving and trying to learn everything on my own during this transition period. I remember trying to explain my situation, but it wasn't going as expected because many people will not understand, and therefore it leads to being penalized in the education system. Another challenge I faced was interactions with other students. I felt through my personal experience, it was very difficult to make friends or talk to people in my program for many reasons. Mainly, I found it hard to relate to other students and join in on conversations with them because I couldn't add anything to the conversation. This particularly was more challenging around the holidays, as professors and students often talked about where families went, what they did, what gifts people got, or the vacations that they went on. The holidays for youth in care are one of the riskiest times of year due to the lack of support. Workers are on vacation, residences close, forcing students from care to sleep at homeless shelters or couch surf. And support is hard to get around to this time, but it is most needed at this time. On the other side of this, I would say a huge benefit for me was knowing firsthand some of the topics that were discussed in the program. I kind of became a professor in first year. For instance, in first year we talked about foster care and the child welfare system, and I was able to participate and share my experience with peers, as I think it's a good way to educate more people about it. Therefore, this usually came into my favor for assignments related to child welfare because usually I was the first one to get chosen for a partner. The biggest thing to take out of this barrier is to understand that some students may not have families to go to, or it might not be a happy time or experience for them. So just keep that in mind. So being in the CYC field, it's important to be inclusive and understand this. Through my experience in this program, I have also faced a number of discrimination with students and professors. I've had a number of staff members share discouraging comments to me because I grew up in care. I was very careful to which professors I shared this label with, as I knew people would speak differently if they know that there's someone else in the room. One teacher in particular I didn't share this with, and during one of the lectures, the professor said, "I will never work with youth from care because they are bad kids with too many issues." At this point, all of my peers looked at me and waited for a reaction. With instances like this, I always make a point to educate back instead of letting it affect me negatively. But to make a point, I've had many teachers make comments about me not applying myself enough or not thinking I will go very far in life. So I was shocked to face this discrimination in a program that is so focused on children and youth and their diverse experiences. This really goes into, are we practicing what we teach? I had another really challenging experience with this thought in second year. In one of my classes, we were instructed to make a family genogram as an assignment with so many levels. For me, this was difficult as I don't know much about my family history or background or even anyone in my family other than my mom, my dad, my maternal grandmother, and my siblings. I asked if I could do the assignment on my foster family and explained why. The professor said no, it had to be my biological family as this program is focused on exploring roots. This was very odd for me because we talk about so much about defining family and what it means, and we come to the conclusion that family is anything that you want it to be. It doesn't have to be blood. However, then we have to complete these assignments that are strictly only on blood relatives. The end result was that I was reintroduced to trauma from being forced to talk to my biological mom in order to complete the assignment. The end result of assignments like these will do the opposite of exploring roots. It will reintroduce trauma, and this creates another challenge as a student. I'm not saying we shouldn't have these assignments, because I do think understanding your past is crucial in this field. However, I do think that there needs to be alternative assignments or something for other students that face similar experiences. This also relates to many classes we have about individuality and how important it is not to generalize youth. Assignments should be accommodating those needs for individuals. This program has been a real learning experience for myself. While there were some challenges and barriers that I faced throughout the program, I was able to connect really, really well to some amazing professors. I was able to develop skills such as my confidence and speaking skills. I was also able to gain more knowledge that I continue using throughout the field. I also believe these challenges and barriers has added to my passion about educating people around child welfare issues, which has led me to my current job at the Durham Children's Aid Society and my growing list of volunteer work. Now, just because I might not have had the most positive experience in this program, it doesn't mean that other people don't. The other speaker that was supposed to be here today, her name is Ashley, and I know her very, very well. She was going to speak really about her positive experiences, and she connected really, really well with her peers, and her teachers were very supportive. So again, it shows you that everyone goes through different experiences, and every program is different. Well, in this program, I had the opportunity to write a thesis, yay, this past year. As you know, it's very time-consuming and tedious work. I wrote mine about aging out of the child welfare system at 21 in Ontario. Writing about something I'm so dedicated to and passionate about was very helpful. I also had to create a project for Wolfgang's class, yay, which was to create something through the arts in relation to my thesis topic. Wolfgang asked me to share it with you, as it is very powerful and it's a great opportunity to show the realities of former youth from care. So, let's start with... So this, I'm just going to hold it up so everyone can see, is if I could imagine a typical foster home, this is what it would look like. So this just shows everything's labeled on it. So all I'm going to read out some of the numbers and explain the significance of these. So number one is the roof, which obviously just means that there's a roof over the person's head. Number two is a social worker. Number three is a foster parent. Number four is fridge. There's food in the house, and the parent and guardians are responsible for that. Number five is money, so financial support. Most things are covered while you're in care, such as dental, prescriptions, rent, clothing, food, etc. Eye coverage, glasses and contacts, and any other vision is paid for. Seven is mental health support, which is huge, as we know in this field. So counseling and other mental health supports are available and covered. And then eight is just a general comfort, knowing that everything's taken care of and you don't have to worry about it. So the difference between when you're transitioning and when you're aging out is when you're transitioning, you're in that 17, 18 to 21 stage, is you're still getting the support. You can still reach out for supports. You're getting financial support. So like I said earlier, you're getting the $1,000 a month maximum. When you're 21, you don't get that. Everything's dropped. So you have a certain coverage, which I'm going to explain about. It's okay. So this is when you age out of care. And number one is the box itself, which is to represent homelessness. So 40% of former youth in care have been homeless or couch surfed at some point since leaving care. Many youth from care can't afford to pay rent because there's no financial support after you age out, except if you're going to school. There's also no comfort after aging out of care, as you're constantly in survival mode. So as I mentioned previously, the only way you can get support is if you're going to school, but there's different ways around that. So the free tuition, it's not free. I wish it was. So if someone wants to pay my tuition, go for it. So there's different tricks, and then you have to be in school a certain amount of years, and then to get that financial support, if you switch programs, you're not eligible for it. You have to stick through the whole program. So that's one of the barriers. Number two in here, if I take out all of this, which I'll explain later, is there's bars, which represents incarceration. So 100% of all youth leaving care are at great risk of experiencing higher rates of incarceration, homelessness, unemployment, and reliance on public assistance. These numbers increase significantly if you're a person of color or Indigenous in the child welfare system. Number three is this little garbage bag right here. So how many of you have heard the significance behind the garbage bag in care? Raise your hand. I want to see. So if you're in care, all of your stuff gets packed into a garbage bag, and that's how you're moved. I actually just got my first set of luggage this year at Christmas. So number four is coverage. So there's no eye coverage. You're not covered for glasses or anything anymore after you age out. 83% of youth in permanent care have been diagnosed as having complex special needs, including developmental delays, emotional challenges, behavioral issues, aggression, depression, and ADHD, among others. 46% have been prescribed drugs for psychiatric conditions. After you age out of care, youth cannot afford the medication, so they stop taking that. On top of that, there's no more coverage for counseling services or mental health support. Number five is school. As I mentioned before, the statistics. Really, really difficult, as the only way to get support is going through school, and the numbers are so low for actually going to school, so that's another challenge. And if you want to pursue a higher education, so I was looking into my MSW this year, my master's of social work, and it wouldn't have been covered, I wouldn't have been eligible for support. So that's another barrier. Number six, there's a little cloth over the Barbie's face, which represents being silenced. So a lot of youth, when they do speak out, it's like no one's listening, no one does anything about it. So we feel like no one's listening. Number seven is the holidays. So as I said, a lot of youth from care don't have families or anywhere to go to for the holidays. So homeless shelters are used very frequently. And then lastly, this part could be triggering. I'm going to warn you now. But all of these black pieces of paper that are overflowing is the stigma that you have being in care. So all the stigma adds up and the labels add up. And then when you age out of care, you're kind of left with all of it. And so these statements that I'm going to read out to you are actually from real youth that I got and collected. These are either comments that have been said to them or comments that they remember. So the first one is, people like you are a leech on the system, using hard-earned taxpayer dollars to pay for the mistakes of children who couldn't figure their crap out. I had many people say I wouldn't achieve an education and that I would turn out to be just like my parents. You don't apply yourself enough. That was said by a teacher. I don't think you'll be able to handle this program because you are in care. When I was first moving out on my own, I was 16, I went to look at an apartment with my group home staff member, and the owner of the house said to me, so you were bad to your parents and now CAS gives you $1,000 to go live on your own? You should be happy you're in care because you get free schooling. Maybe I will say my parents are hitting you so I can come into care and get free schooling and other free stuff too. You're a foster child, what did you do? That was said by a dentist. What did you do to piss your parents off? Your foster parents don't really love you, they just want the money. I will never work with youth who are in care because they are bad and none of them will ever be anything. That was said by a teacher. Of course you have a kid, your parents were probably teen parents too, following in your parents' footsteps, I see. They should take all the low-life kids and put them far away from us. So you're an adopted child, oh my God, how did your parents die? You were such a bad kid then, eh? You're going to end up like your parents or worse. Group home kids are nothing but trouble, and a lot of them are there for trying to kill their parents. So that's just some of the comments that youth have said. So as you can see, having that said to you and then coming through school and hearing the same thing, it can create a lot of negativity, and a lot of youth who are already dealing with a lot of problems on their own will have a hard time going through programs and such if they don't feel supported. This last part of this project was from my actual research and my thesis itself. Who's heard of My Real Life book, the My Real Life book report? So a lot of these comments are actually from them, and I'm only going to read a couple out, but this goes with the box because this is just more comments. So, no other relationship begins with an expiry date. I have already lost a family once, and when I turn 21, it's going to happen again. Children's aid saved my life, but at this moment I felt betrayed and abandoned. I was not ready to leave care. I felt their love, guidance, and support was unconditional until I turned 21, then it became conditional. I remember sitting in my room alone the day I turned 21. I had been alone a million times in that room before, but I had never really felt alone like I did at that point in time. So that's just a couple. And that was my project.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.